You know what? When I saw that tea bottle and it had the label over the lid, immediately my head went, is that Long Island iced tea?
Heck no.
You're like, let me have some of that.
That there Share. Is
yeah,
gold.
But, yeah, if anybody wants to make a run.
Yeah.
I've never had Long
We're
Island
We're here
tea.
Till 80.
There's a reason you have never had a Long Island iced tea.
Oh.
It's got spirits.
Yeah.
Obviously. No, it's because it's only served in Long Island.
And not Christmas spirits.
And it's haunted.
Nice.
Let's roll, Kato.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 30 of Comic Pop Library. You're here with Richard,
Chris,
Matt,
April,
and Logan.
And we are going to be reviewing Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury and Until Death Do Us Part, a manga by Hiroshi Takahashi, art by Double S. We will take a short break for Dodge City Public Library. Dance the jig, dance the jig.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land, so why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
And we are back. We are going to start tonight with Chris with a review of Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury.
I will start off our preface review with it's a must read. You should have no choice.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Basically, the story starts off with a view of the future, if you will. I mean, this book was written in, here, dang it, does it say?
Did you say 64?
It probably has a movie, right?
There was
53,
a movie.
Actually. Oh. 1953 by Ray Bradbury. Bradbury. It's not Barry, it's Ray Bradbury. Anyway, so you've got this picturesque view of a grim future where books are bad and are considered illegal contraband. And the government sort of started up these, and they're called fire stations. What they do is they get anonymous tips, and the anonymous tips leads them to people who have stashes of these illegal books.
And all books.
Right. Everything from a dictionary to magazines.
Their version of books is, you know, comic strip from the newspaper? Take out maybe two lines of that. There's your book.
Pretty much all paper, yeah.
Yep.
Pretty much all.
And in the midst of this grim future, it sort of creates a anxiety type of, I'm going to say, an atmosphere of war, if you will. As I read all the way through it, it reminded me a lot of probably what it would have maybe been like in Nazi Germany, where Hitler was burning all, not all books, but all Jewish written books. Yeah.
And it did have a war in the background, too.
Yes. In the book, they talk about fighter bombers flying over all the time. I wanted to see more. I wanted to basically get another point of view of the book, so I also watched the movie. They didn't do as good a job in the movie as far as giving you the sense that there was war going on. It was a British film. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. It's not like they would. Well, also, the film also was done probably the 50s, 60s, I think 60s. Okay. It was in color. So, Guy is married.
1966 was the movie.
Thank you.
Was the film.
Okay. With his fancy tablet, and he just looked that up.
Hey, you should maybe get like a little kickback for using that for the podcast.
Doubt it.
Okay, anyway. So to kind of wrap up sort of how the general feeling of this book, it seemed like most of the population was just in this depressed state. They were always inside their houses. They don't spend much time outside their house. And that was probably due to air quality. And it could probably be of any reason. It really didn't state anything specific. And so the only thing they really had was TV.
Four-wall TV.
Well, but you could get it at a panel at a time. Basically, in the movie, it was just your flat-panel TV, which, for the 1960s, would have been a really cool idea.
So, like, the whole wall is a TV?
In the book,
yes. But in the movie, no.
Where would they put the doors?
Well, this was like a specific room in the house, I think, wasn't it?
It was probably the family room or living room or something.
Maybe they have a staircase up to it. I'm not quite sure. Can't remember.
Yeah,
I don't know if they ever actually said it was just a room.
But I would say it would probably be more like a studio.
Maybe since it's in the future, they have those slide doors that go up and down.
Quite possibly.
Maybe.
Okay.
I kind of looked at it like it was a projector projecting on the wall, as close as what we would have today.
Mm-hmm.
But did you think it was a 3D type deal or immersed one or just a 2D? Like
I don't. They really didn't get into
possibly
it.
Our 3D today, but I don't think it was 3D as an illusion.
We could look into it as to what those TVs could look like as much as we wanted to, but they never were really specific on what it was, other than that was their device for visual and audio entertainment. They were interactive. Because they didn't have books, they would have these interactive TV sessions where they would play a movie or whatever, and then you would be one of the people in the movie, and you would have a line to say or something.
But what if you're the one that dies? That's awkward.
In the movie, they portrayed this sort of play is what I would consider it. The movie could go in any direction she wanted it to. Basically, it was more or less a dialogue between two or more characters, and depending on what she said is what direction the story would go. Because in the movie, after the whole thing was done, she turned to, by the way, the main character is Guy Montag. She turns to her husband, Guy, and says, "Hey, I got the answers right." So it was totally interactive in the sense that we would think of a game or whatever being interactive in our time. Okay.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And her name was Mildred. Okay. I didn't remember. I had to look it up. So so anyway, this is the only form of entertainment. And as you could think, it would probably get pretty boring. Just not being able to have the variety of books that we have these days. There's probably not much variety of the TV shows I could do.
There was also, it seemed like,
because they had to do these without scripts, so the movies were really short, and she probably only had two lines in the whole interactive movie.
Right, but there was no social interaction between people, really.
Yeah, there was. You don't remember her friends coming over later?
Yes.
A little bit, but not...
But not. It wasn't like outdoors, it was indoors.
Not like we would consider
them dead. They had taken out the patios, or whatever they call them.
So they were very... These were probably a very private society.
What? Where is this? Like,
it was on page 22, line 14.
Where does the book take place?
Sentence two.
I don't think it's funny, Chris. I don't think it ever actually.
What did you say, 22?
I don't think it ever gave a specific place as to where this happened.
I feel like an American society, though.
Okay,
I would say somewhere in New York.
Yeah, okay, my larger American society.
Because it was a big city.
Because I just go maybe automatically to somewhere in America.
Yeah. I don't know if it ever really said the name of the town they lived in. I don't ever remember saying that.
Not sure. It might have, though. And it seems to me the old people most of them went and took comfort in the routine of everything staying the same. And the young people went completely reckless, go ahead and kill everyone.
You're kind of generalizing the young girl at the beginning.
Yeah.
I was talking about the cars
and a few tales of the youngsters or teenagers later on or middle or beginning somewhere.
Well, let's get to that right now.
Okay.
Clearly.
So, in the monotony of his job, monotony. It sounds pretty exciting to me to go out. Maybe not exciting wouldn't be the word I'd use.
Chris likes to play with fire.
Fire. Good.
Yeah. Okay. So, in the monotony of his job, and it'd be kind of a depressed job, really. He meets this girl on the way home one day from his job named Clarice. And she, I think her whole point at the beginning of the book was to ask one question. Have you read any of the books you burned? Well, this got Guy thinking, and believe it or not, actually got him reading. So,
she was considered crazy by the society and killed off.
You know, in the book, they did kind of put it off that way, but the movie put a spin on it, and I'll get to that at towards the end.
Okay.
So she suddenly disappears, and Guy has no idea where she's at. So this kind of sort of motivates him to read more, I think, in a way. So, and you'll have to help me because I'm going straight to when... Now, here's another spin that the movie puts on. His wife actually turns Guy in. That is not in the book.
In the movie, she does.
Really?
Yes. In the movie, Guy's wife actually turns him in as being a book reader. Oh, you know what? I need to back up. I need to back up to the old lady.
Chief in the movie, wasn't it?
What?
The chief in the book was...
Guy?
Mm-hmm. No, the chief, not Guy.
The person that turned him in. Guy's
commander.
Commander. He was the one. He was like, you have so many days to read it that you got to get rid of it. And then they started seeing I'm kind of jumping ahead, but they had
No, that's fine, because I need to talk about the old lady, too.
Dog that could smell books, I guess.
Yeah,
right.
And the chief sent that out and kind of knew what was happening from there. So that is a big difference from the book then to the movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it smelled whatever was programmed in it, because they used it for rat fights, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did that in the book. I was kind of like, whoa.
Whoa, they had rat fights?
I don't remember. Yeah. Was the
versus dog.
Dog thingy in the movie at all?
No.
Yeah, see.
Okay. So they had to have that catalyst. Okay.
Right. So I think Guy's real turning point was when someone turned in an older lady who had this multi-book library in her attic. And basically, in the future, book or houses.
Jeez.
Houses are made out of a non-flammable material, but everything on the inside of it is just as flammable as anything in your average living room. So, in the book, they basically torched your house, right?
True. That's right.
In the movie, they just torched the books, except for at Guy Montag's house. Because they wanted to get, in the movie, they didn't want to give Montag a reason to go back home. So, in the movie, they just torched his whole house, so that way he had no reason to go snooping back in his house.
In the book, didn't she basically light herself on fire?
Well,
yeah.
Let me get to that. Montag didn't believe in killing anybody over these books. But it was at this point that Guy Montag realized that there's not books aren't just books, okay? There's actual people behind these books. There's people who actually wrote these things. And in that, these people sort of put a piece of their soul in these books. So when you're reading these books, you're getting to know the author. I think, you know, Guy wanted to learn more about people and through their whatever it was that he was reading. This lady says, listen, if you're going to burn my books, I'm going to burn with them. And Guy's like, no, you know, he cared for human life and didn't feel like she needed to die because, you know, with her books. So he tries to take her out of the house, but she finally says no. And I don't know in the book if she lights herself on fire or whoever had the salamander, which was their flamethrower, basically, just finally went in and said, okay, fine, she's not leaving. Die.
Logan, you thought...
If I remember correctly, in the book, she literally jumps into the burning book pile.
Okay.
Back into the house in a fire.
Right. I think they actually took her out of the house once she went running back in. Right?
That's what I'm wanting to say. I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
So this is when Guy just sort of, I'm going to say, freaks out. And his chief sort of recognizes behavior that sort of hints that he's doing something illegal. So I think that's when they send the robot dog to snoop at his house on a night that he was working. And evidently the next morning that was another thing. They only burned the books at night in the book. It's not that way in the movie for obvious reasons because of lighting, but...
And I think the reason they did that, if I remember right, I can't remember if it was explained or if I'm just perceiving this, but it was to make a more grand example of everything. If this is bad, you shouldn't be doing this, and poof, you know, everybody sees it burning.
Right. I think it was kind of explained that way. I think that when Montag and the girl, Clarice, were talking something about that, it came up, but I can't remember the exact conversation because she was asking about him being a fireman, which also got him to thinking, why am I doing this kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. So they get an alarm in the middle of the night, I'm guessing, and I think Montag was, I'm going to guess he was asleep because as he's getting ready, he forgets his helmet, and then So he runs down, gets his helmet, gets into the fire truck or whatever, and they go speeding off. Well, eventually he realizes, hey, the neighborhood's starting to look familiar. And then he realizes he's at their house, or at Guy's house. He realizes he's at his house. So all the fire, I don't know, they're not really firefighters, all the broke burners go running into his house, and they're all standing there having a conversation when the chief hands Guy the salamander and says, burn your books. And instead, he torches his whole house. And this is where I want to switch back to the movie, because as he's burning his house, the rest of the firefighters are gathering up his stash of books, which ends up being quite a few. In the movie, he actually takes one of the books and smuggles it in his vest, and one of his coworkers sees him.
In the book, it's and then different.
Right, and then in the movie, he ends up. He tells the chief. The chief says, hey, you smuggled a book. That's illegal. Now I can arrest you. And Montag resists. And then the chief pulls out a gun and says, no, you're under arrest. And then he turns the salamander onto the chief.
That's and pretty much
the did he do the rest of the firemen as well or just the chief? I can't remember. Just
the focus was on the chief because right. He was actually trying to make the arrest.
Okay. In the book, I'm pretty sure they were halfway out of town or something. Can't remember.
Well, at this point, he's a felon, and with the technology of the day, they have the means to track felons immediately when the crime occurs. So, Guy takes off running out of his house, starts running down the street, and a helicopter is suddenly spotting him, and then he ends up running basically out of town. He ends up getting into a river, hiding in a boat, and then once the helicopter disappears, he gets out of the boat and continues his walk down the river out of town.
That's kind of similar to the book, but it had dogs instead of helicopters, and he crossed the river instead of hitting a boat.
Okay.
And have we yet mentioned his old friend?
I think that, yeah, I think I'm sorry, what'd you say, Logan?
Have we yet mentioned his old friend?
The professor?
The professor that anyone talked to?
No, I haven't mentioned him yet.
The cowardly brave guy?
Yeah, that was kind of in the middle of the book, towards the end, because he went there to try to get the book copied and distributed.
Yeah.
What book was it?
It was the Bible.
Was it the Bible?
Part of it.
Well, I assumed it was one the Bible. Book
of
the
book I think of they Bible. Said they don't it was say. The Bible.
I don't remember.
It said it was one of the names from the Bible. John?
Yeah, it's one of the Gospels.
It was something like that. And he said it was they thought it would probably be the only copy that existed in the world.
Right. And so that didn't work out. Then shortly after that.
That part wasn't in the movie at all.
And shortly after that is when the chief, they went to his house and did all the stuff that we had been talking about.
And that old guy had the ear transmitters.
Yeah.
Oh, just to wrap this up, he goes out of town. He ends up finding a sort of
hobo clan.
That works. A hobo clan.
They follow the train tracks, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then he finds out also that this hobo clan each person in the hobo clan, say that five times fast. has actually memorized a book, and they basically become their book so that instead of having to track these books, they memorize them and then they themselves also burn them. And then they pass their memorized book down to the next generation.
That'd take a long time.
Well, it depends on the book.
Especially the books that I read, like this.
Okay.
And they kept on going and going.
Yep. And then I'm guessing they just nuked the city in the book.
Like,
I don't know if it was a nuke or just a bombing run. I'm not quite sure how that worked.
Well, it sounds like everything was obliterated. It turned concrete into dust.
I don't actually remember
sounds
that
like
happening.
A nuke.
I don't actually remember that happening in the book.
I can't remember. Yeah. I remember a
it
bombing
happens towards
or
the
nuke,
end.
Something like
maybe it's
that.
Only in the movie.
No. The movie didn't do that. Hmm. The movie instead, in this hobo clan, he meets up with Clarice again.
Who's that?
The girl. That's the movie?
Huh? Yeah, in the movie, he meets up with Clarice in the hobo clan.
Okay. Is she a hobo?
In the book, she's been executed.
And Montag's book that he tried smuggling out was an Edgar Allan Poe poetry book. In the hobo clan, he would be the only poet.
Huh. Who?
So in the movie, he has
I don't know
Edgar
if it's poetry,
Poe
actually. It might have been short story.
He has a book of the Bible.
It was Edgar Allan Poe, though.
Wasn't the book the Bible, though?
One of the
books. In the movie, it was Edgar Allan Poe.
in the movie, okay.
Yeah.
One of the things I kind of related this to when they talked about memorizing the book is, if you remember 3-4 years ago, the movie with Denzel Washington with
Book of Eli,
and how that ended.
Wow, I like how you caught that just with Denzel Washington.
Book of Eli. Kind of like the Book of Eli.
The Book of Eli, because at the very end, we find out that his Bible was a Braille Bible, and so he didn't need the book when he went to the place where
he had memorized it.
But the other thing of that is, over so many generations, what's going to be lost?
Yeah.
Because you're doing interpretations of interpretations of interpretations.
Like that folklore.
It's kind of like the phone tree, or you start this in.
Yeah.
It's just easier to think that his character in the movie had the skill to memorize it word for word.
Actually, in the book, they had actually had somebody or other, or a group of them, that were getting their, you know how the brain only takes up 10% usage or whatever?
Right.
They had figured a way to allow the memory portion to access more of that power.
Okay.
Or some sort like that.
Okay.
Basically give them all
super
perfect memory.
Perfect memory.
Not superpowers, but perfect memory.
Super brain
either that
powers.
Or that was basically their job, and that's, you know,
it.
Every day they ran through the book in their head so they would remember it again, I guess. Because
I could not
since
do
they
that.
Burn it, you got to remember
yeah,
it somehow.
Yeah, you got to remember it. Yeah.
And they burned the books too, just like the firemen. Yeah.
So they wouldn't get caught.
Exactly.
But they just traveled in the wilderness. They very seldom went into the cities unless they had to. Is that what you gathered from that? Because they didn't really explain it a whole lot. But.
Yeah, I would assume they tried to live off the land, you know, hunting, gathering. And I would suppose that the only time that they went into town was when they get when they thought that, here's the thing.
They have to get their books.
I forgot to mention this. Because they're so hard up for entertainment, when Guy Montag went on the run, the local news picked up on the story. And because Guy actually got away, they conjured up another person who started running from the police or firemen or whatever. They finally turned him in to Guy Montag. So, and when he went out and got caught, basically it was just another example of why you shouldn't have books. And they broadcasted it on everybody's TV so that everybody would hear what's going on.
Huh. What?
The government perpetrated that Guy had been caught and killed,
so
basically.
He actually
escaped, though.
Oh.
Yep. Right. And apparently that happened
to cover up.
Right.
To make the government look good instead of bad.
So then I think, did the robot dogs, and Logan might remember, did they have like a protein sniffer or something like that, a pheromone sniffer? So basically everybody who has gotten away is a target for these dogs now.
Mm-hmm. So they pretty much have to avoid cities.
So if he went to a different city, would their dogs have it? Or
they would have to be programmed for it, but yeah, they could get to it.
Yeah, they're on some robot dog network.
And I thought it was
trademark. 2012.
See what you'd call that? The dognet?
The dognet.
Dognet.
The one aspect I wanted to go back and kind of talk about for discussion was, this is kind of reflecting what's happening to society right now.
Yeah.
Because they said books were not banned because of content. They were basically banned because people's attention span was getting shorter and shorter and shorter. They didn't want to sit and read books. And then even their, like you mentioned earlier, even their television programs became shorter and shorter and shorter to where they're like 15 minutes, 20 minutes long, and that's it.
Yeah. And they're...
And we're going to the...
went 100 miles an hour.
What's that
or
again?
Or 200. And their highways were 100 mile an hour speed limits or 200.
Wow, ADHD got really out of hand.
But you can kind of see that with the Kindles and the Nook and Pad. You know, people are getting electronic books. Our TV shows, probably 40%, if not half of them, are reality-type TV shows like they were kind of talking about in the book.
Pretty Little Liars.
You know what? I think we're in the age of over-information or too much information, and we want it right now.
And we want sound bites. We just want enough to know what's going on.
Right. So this podcast is way over my...
we don't worry about time. But that's what I kind of thought. I was kind of looking at that. Like, you know, this is a sci-fi book from the 50s, and yet... It's like we discussed in some of the other books.
Right.
It's kind of reflecting what's happening now.
Right. You know, I think I mentioned this in another podcast. You know, some of these sci-fi authors are, maybe in some way they were actually predicting the future. Like Nostradamus would have.
I think, like,
actually, kind of
this
some
is
of them.
Kind of close to this topic.
I mentioned it in Neuromancer way back several episodes ago.
True.
Maybe they had a group vision of the future and each took parts of it.
Now, I know Heinlein did get with some of these other sci-fi authors and did kind of...
It was a secret cult.
Shared info.
That worked.
I think, like, with the Uglies series,
right?
I can see that happening very easily because of the, at a certain age, they go and get
plastic surgery.
Have we reviewed that?
And no, there's actually no. A, is a good golden, whatever it was.
Sounds creepy.
Something or other.
Yeah, sounds.
That Mona Lisa was basically based off of.
What?
I couldn't tell you, dude. Not sure.
What,
like,
was it?
I don't know, dude.
It's a math term.
Because with Uglies, it's like at a certain age, because you're taught to hate how you look no matter what. And so at a certain age, you go in for a surgery that makes you look pretty much like everyone else, but, you know, like different hair or color, you know, all that. And throughout the books, it's going deeper and deeper into the future. So stuff changes, like they have cliques and, like, basically clubs, like you might be a techie, like a tech head.
Yeah.
And you've just got all these different groups and, like, all this technology that you just spend your life partying. And
so, in essence, you're saying with Ray Bradbury.
Yeah, it's not Barry. It's right. B-U-R-Y.
Bradbury.
He was looking at the technology of his time, which was, I guess, phones or whatnot. I don't know. It was a Westerfield that wrote the Uglies.
Yeah.
They're looking at our technology of this time, which is
plastic
cloning. Well, cloning and plastic surgery to make people look the same.
It's used both in Mona Lisa and some Central American old tribe or so, whatever, pyramids.
To make you look like each
something
other?
Something like golden ratio?
Something like that.
As long as it's not golden showers.
Thanks, Richard. So it kind of sounds like it's still that progression of society to one way in that book, like it kind of is in this one.
Right.
It's kind of going... Yeah. You know, that one way. And I can see why this is on the banned book list, because it does kind of resemble kind of what they were doing in Nazi Germany at the time. Even though this was...
Future.
This would have been written after.
Yeah.
About World War II. About a decade after World War II. So I'm not sure if it was so much a vision of the future as it also was taking from what past history was to what the vision of the future could be.
An alternate history, what if Hitler won type
thing? Yeah, something like that. Kind of what I look
have
at it.
Have people thought about that?
There's many,
there
many,
books.
Many books,
several books
that
like
are
that.
Okay. Considered the genre of
I
alternate
done any,
history.
Because I haven't done any alternate history books.
Because I'm reading The Book Thief right now, which is like a flip side of the person who's not Jewish, but is just going through it, you know, as like a supporter or whatever. Like
this is a German citizen.
Yeah, this is
that is not Nazi.
Which is like a little girl, like, and she steals books. And then it's like it's the very first book I've read or known about that has the flip side, which I think is really refreshing. Because
yep.
she had blonde hair but brown eyes, and she was like, "Well, I would later know that that's a very dangerous thing to have."
Right. Yeah. Well, Chris said at the beginning, this is a must read. What ages do you give it
exactly,
on?
Exactly. I was just going to get to
now,
that.
Reading-wise, I had difficulty reading it.
Really?
Dang.
It kind of felt schizophrenic at times because, like, what is this trying to tell me?
I think I experienced that schizophrenia.
I may have, too.
Because it was like, especially with the girl,
uh-huh.
she was fragmented a lot in what they were talking about.
She was crazy.
And, yeah.
No, she just liked nature.
But her way she talked was fragmented. I thought she was like 17, but she acted like she was probably 9.
Yeah,
the movie switched her age to meet social norms. In the movie, she was 20. So I think in some way they wanted a relationship to sort of an intimate relationship to build between Guy and Clarice. Because it gave him a reason to go looking for her.
In the book, it's 17.
Yeah, she's 17.
Right. In the book. It would Montag was like 40?
Probably.
In his
30s, 40s, somewhere
in
there.
So socially, that would not be accepted in American culture in 1953. So in 1953, that would be a shock to read that.
But to me, even some of Guy's monologue, it was like he was starting to go crazy too. Because he was getting all these ideas that he never had before.
Right.
And he was getting fragmented too. And to me, at times, it was like, holy cow, this is kind of difficult to wade through.
Let me flip back a few pages and reread.
Now, what helped me get through it was I followed along with the audiobook.
I think most of the sentences of Clary speaking with him were actually separate days, because when he went home, she kept on meeting him at the corner, and then all of a sudden it stopped.
Mm-hmm. True.
So that might have not just been fragmented. It might have been just time skipped.
Well, there were times with that, too. Yeah, you're right.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, they met over several weeks.
Right. You know, this also may be a portrayal of how society had gotten till Montauk started reading books. You know, everything was just so ADHD or ADD, whatever it was, that when he was reading the books, that's kind of how he was. He wasn't getting through all the book. Instead, he was just kind of reading parts of it, you know, of each one and then picking out.
Well, it's one of those, on the opposite side, you think the ADHD, but it was that their lives were so narrow of a scope that this is what they did, that when they started reading a book that introduced these outside ideas, their mind went nuts because they didn't know how to handle that idea.
Right.
Because it was more or less black and white, I guess is what I want to say. Their living style was it either it is or it isn't.
Very candid.
To a degree.
Sorry, just read a book.
But what would you say, reading that?
I actually wanted to pick a book, not necessarily.
That was short.
Well, here, I'm going to give it away.
That was short.
No, because the next one's even shorter.
Oh, okay.
Is it like a really thin one?
It's The Time Machine by H.G. Wells.
I've heard of The Time Machine.
The movie's pretty good, too, so.
Both of them. I bet.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen the second one yet. Anyway, stay on topic.
No spoilers. Future
show. Spoiler alert. Future show.
So I wanted to pick a book that would hopefully target more of a younger audience than adults, because a lot of the book reviews I've been doing, we've been saying were more adult books. So I did an internet search for college entry books, and this one was on it. So probably junior, senior, high school, and older.
I'd agree.
I wouldn't.
I could see that, but I can see some teachers trying, like you said, it's a short book, so I can see some of them trying to do it a little younger.
But it's hard to get through.
But I can see some teachers probably doing that. But for me, I'd agree with that. Like I said, it's so fractured. Some of it is kind of tough.
If most of my class can fall asleep to Of Mice and Men, they'll fall asleep to this.
Well, I think the whole point of the book is, what would life be like without books, one, and what if books were contraband?
Yeah.
So it's supposed to get your gears running, do some critical thinking, the discussion of the book. It would be awesome. You get more out of it in the discussion,
oh, yeah.
I think.
But I would say, too, if your library doesn't have this, they should.
For one, for the irony. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Our library put this on the deleted book list.
Yeah, I know. Which was like,
I saved
really?
It.
You saved it?
I saved it.
I was like, really? Well, the reason it was put on our deleted list,
one we're reviewing,
was because it hadn't been checked out
for a long time.
In quite a while.
Still, Ray Bradbury.
It should never be deleted. I don't care.
Like Chris said, it's the irony of it. The library deleting this book. Yeah. It's talking about destroying books.
About deleting books, yeah.
No, they're talking about destroying. We're just talking about removing it from the catalog. Big difference. But yeah, that is kind of irony. But yeah, the irony was because it hadn't been checked out.
I think it would be funny if this somehow, something actually happened.
Actually, I think this is a second copy.
World actually happened somehow and this was the only book left.
That would be irony right there.
That would be really bad. It's like, oh my gosh.
But just a little tip. We've recently just went through all of our classics, and most of the covers were kind of blah.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through and repurchased probably about 50 to 70 of the classics to get a more modern cover.
Mm.
And then we made a display, you know, check out,
no,
the rediscover the classics.
Some of those aren't in print anymore. So how did you find them?
I just started, went through our jobber, which for us is Ingram, and got as many as I could find. And some of them I couldn't because the covers were no better than what we had.
Yeah, they weren't modernized
but
reprints.
A lot of ours.
This was one of those. I'm holding a book, War of Worlds by H.G. Wells. This was one of the books that we replaced.
Okay. Just to get brighter colors, get a modern picture on there.
We should
maybe get somebody to. Did you have anybody check them out when you had that? Do you have a lot of people take notice, want to check them out, or just say, hey, that was cool?
Just right now, just, hey, that's cool. I think the some people are scared of the classics. For 11th and higher, this is one I think all of us said thumbs up, to steal a phrase.
Yep.
Phrase.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoyed it. I had a little bit of difficulty, but all in all, it was a good book. And yep. I think especially Chris definitely liked it.
I enjoyed it.
So now, let's see, what do we want to do? Now we'll go on to the next review that we have in line, which is Until Death Do Us Part. The story is by Hiroshi Takasaga and the art by Double S.
You do a whole lot better with those names than I would ever attempt. Yep.
You know, when I first looked at the cover of this book, I immediately went to Matrix.
Yeah. I went to like a video. I went to like Tron.
Tron.
The original Tron is a very close representation of
that. The grid and like just like.
But this is a manga put out by Yen Press.
It's the biggest one I've read.
It's a double volume. It's oversized than what a regular novel is. It's almost a trade paperback size.
Yep.
And it does contain two books instead of just the one.
Of course, they're both of the same series.
Well, true. And that it's a continuation.
That's only two?
That's two.
It feels like feels like three.
I can find the spot where it breaks off somewhere.
But it is a continuing series, so we're just reviewing the first book in the series. Let's see here. Some of the characters in the story are Haruka Toyama. She's a 12-year-old girl in the seventh grade that has premonitions that are 90% correct. And then
I was giving her 100.
You were giving her 100?
No, they actually said in when she...
They always whoever she has a premonition has a
perfect
has a choice.
So she's like a
they can change their mind. Yeah. But I'm sorry, I don't want to take away from
that. That's fine. Go ahead. The main character is Mamoru, and this gentleman he's blind and by some sort of accident. It's never really explained, but it might be said in a flashback in a later volume.
Yeah.
But it looks like he's had some type of combat experience or at least some type of training in that regards. Could his
martial arts of some kind.
They have a van driver, which kind of a side
Chris,
character.
Teenager.
Chris, these are the two books.
The van driver's name is Igawa. He's kind of a side character. He's the one that invents a lot of the technology in this, so it's kind of a homebrew.
Is this Japanese or is it American?
It's Japanese.
Isn't he the one that got the real awesome sword for him?
Yeah, he's the one that developed it.
The two gentlemen work for a group called Element Network, and this is just a group that goes around seeking justice for people.
And
they're vigilantes.
Basically.
Yeah.
And they have people tune in, basically, and watch or hear about it or something. I don't know. But
They're investors.
Yeah, pay for it because something happened to them in their life that... Yeah.
I think the line swordsman is more of a mercenary type.
To a degree.
Right. You know, it would surprise me that it wouldn't be... I guess samurai is more Chinese, isn't it?
No, samurai
was Japanese.
But the book opens with Haruka. She's in the back of a car surrounded by a couple of gentlemen or guys.
So you know it's iffy.
And all of a sudden she says he's here and jumps over one of the guys and jumps out of the car to escape. And she runs through a crowd of people.
Don't do this at home.
And goes up to the back of a gentleman.
Or outside your home.
And grabs him. And this gentleman is Mamoru.
Mamoru.
And she's wanting him to help protect her. And he's actually out on the street experimenting with a new type of technology that Igawa has invented. And part of it is a communication technology. And it is a pair of glasses that allow him to see a grid-like image.
There you go.
And the glasses and his cane send out an ultrasonic wave that bounce back to him off objects, kind of like a bat.
There's another comic reference. Okay. Daredevil.
Daredevil. Daredevil.
That's what I was thinking, like Daredevil.
And these signals are sent back to a computer that reads the signals and translates them and sends them back to his glasses.
But they do this
grip.
Really fast.
But it does it in real time.
Yeah. Pretty close.
Because it
pretty
sounds like it would time. Take like
he
three
said
minutes
what it
to
was.
Get there. But.
Yeah. He said somewhere in the book, he said about the delay because they have to turn up he turns up something so he can see the little wires.
There's a slight delay, but it's like milliseconds. It's not several seconds.
Yeah, but because he said when they turned it up, it would get a longer delay that could hurt him in the... Yeah.
The sensitivity of the...
Something.
The visual input device.
Yeah. However you want to say it, the glasses.
True. But while they're out on the street, Mamoru takes Haruka into an alleyway to get away from the pursuers, and of course they follow him down the alleyway, which is a blind alley, and they get trapped, supposedly.
Who's Maruka?
Haruka? She's Haruka. The girl.
Oh, okay. Haruka, she's the Mamoru. Got it. Yeah. Okay.
She's a Saki.
But before all this happened, wasn't it before all that happened, she said, till death do us
part. Nope, I'm getting to that.
Darn. Getting right there.
She tells him they want...
Lottery ticket.
Want her.
Sorry.
Does she actually do that for him?
She does do that in the book.
Matt's trying to shut us all up.
Later on. Let him finish. Then we'll talk about the book.
She tells Mamoru that they won't leave, and she needs him to protect her and wants him to protect her. And he responds that they have to have a contract if Haruka wants to have him as a protector. So she agrees to that, and this is where the title of the book comes in. She says the contract is until death do us part.
That's where it gets a bit awkward. Oh,
okay. But it's only until later that she says, well, he's my husband.
It'd be very awkward because she's in seventh grade and he's like in his 20s. Early 20s.
Yeah. Yeah. She actually says it later that it's like, this is he's my husband now.
Pretty controversial
like
right here.
He's my future husband, something like that.
Yeah, I think she does.
And they also... explain her powers.
I didn't.
Well, it's just predictable.
But it's funny because it gets awkward when she says that, and then it gets even more awkward when the techie like is listening, and he's like, "Well, is she at least hot?" And he's like, "Well, based on the features, she will be very hot." It's like, "Well, then, way to break that down."
She will be in
about
10 years. True. It's kind of what he alludes to.
Yeah, it's like,
But while they're in this alley, we've already talked about the sword, but the sword is actually Mamoru's. He's also testing it, but it's actually the cane. It comes out of the cane. And with this sword, he defeats all these guys, but the sword is made out of and I cannot tell you what it's made out of because I didn't write it down. But it's like this high-tech material risen, and it can pretty much cut through anything
at the molecular level, and that isn't the first time we've heard of this.
No, it's been in other sci-fi stuff.
Yeah. Not sci-fi. It's been in other manga.
Yeah.
I think Blue Exorcist. I think had a weapon that could cut at the molecular level. I can't remember. But there's been other manga in the past that we reviewed.
Later on in the book, they do explain a little bit about the sword. Mm-hmm. It was a guy's invention, but the guy in the truck. I can't say his name.
Igawa
coats the sword. With something that allows the sword to be able to cut through anything at the molecular level.
And not be damaged.
It does wear down because he told him you got to stop using it in this way because it's going to wear it down faster than...
Right.
But what's so amazing about the sword is when the police come to investigate this crime scene...
They don't know.
There's a gun that's sliced in half, or a pistol.
And it's really clean.
And the officer puts it up and puts it back together. And they basically say it sticks together and you can actually fire it.
But it's still...
But then you can break,
it back apart.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
So it's like, minuscule is that cut?
Well, see, here's the thing. I think all knives cut at the molecules, if you think about it. But what I don't understand is they must have this thing with how sharp a knife is.
Yeah.
And that's how they basically portray what they mean by how sharp it is.
Well, the sword is super sharp, but the coating on it is what allowed it to cut
so smoothly.
So smoothly. So it's kind of technology weird.
Biotechnology? Maybe?
No,
that's the computers.
Chemical technology.
Technology? Okay.
Yeah. The biotechnology is in the testing phase computers.
Well, bio is life form.
True.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about, the computers.
The glasses coming back. But we kind of mentioned they work for the Elemental Network, which is a group comprised of civilians that have been hurt or otherwise affected by a brutal, violent crime. They don't want people killed. Which is the interesting part. They only want them to suffer like they have suffered. They want them to know what it feels like to suffer. So he never actually intentionally goes out to kill somebody.
Oh, I could really argue that.
Well, the organization doesn't. He doesn't particularly care.
But there's one guy in particular I think that they're going to go after.
Probably.
That one
He's
dude?
More of a mercenary type deal. He's more the extremist of this group where if he doesn't do it
Matt's over there blowing his nose.
I'm trying to cover that up.
Now I'll mute you.
I was trying to be nice.
You're fine. You don't have to leave.
Yes, he does.
And you can still hear him. And You can still hear
it.
That's my new ringtone.
Leave it in because now I can breathe and talk again. Let's go. Sorry. Cold. Yeah,
there were aspects. You mentioned Tron. My real aspect was Matrix. You mentioned Matrix. That's what I really kind of thought of.
Matrix and Daredevil.
April said Tron. Daredevil, yes.
Well, the way he sees it, it's the way they depict it in the book, in the artistry, it's kind of a grid.
It's electronic.
It's electronic.
Yeah.
But right. it uses a similar, instead of a talent like in Daredevil, it's a technology that does basically the same thing.
Right. It's kind of a gridish.
See, I got Tron because of the grid, and like on the cover, it's kind of blurred
sci-fi.
To where he's moving pretty fast. Kind of like the light.
It's more of an adventure story.
Well, I see this. I see his glasses actually coming into effect with Google goggles.
Google goggles. Yeah.
Haven't you seen those?
No, I have not.
Oh, man, look those up.
I've heard of them, but I've never seen them.
But it's a kind of a it's more adventure, more of an adventure story with a sci-fi element.
It was hard.
I'd agree with that. It's kind of an adventure of them two and the group and what's happening.
You could almost say crime-fighting mystery because they're after one. It sounds like they're after a crime.
It's
syndicate.
Like conspiratorial,
kind of like the Yakuza or something like that. All right,
Yakuza.
And that's one of the aspects I liked about the book. It's more geared for a male audience.
Mystery comes in because they don't talk about, is it Mamaru?
The girl, Haruka.
No.
Mamaru is the guy.
You don't know anything about him.
True.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And I think that'll be pulled out in future issues. But this is one that I enjoyed. It was a simple story, really. You didn't really have to overthink the story for me.
Really? I didn't. It was pretty straightforward.
It just got so conspiratorial with the army people coming in. And like,
but guys like, well, I won't say all guys like that, but I've enjoyed that, and it seems like
just really tiring.
But this is one, like I said, to me it was a simple story. The conspiracy, I've read enough books like that, it didn't bother me. I'm used to it.
See, April. I had to read this in little bits, and I haven't even finished it because
you haven't finished a book.
And she didn't
hold on. No, all those times you gave me. Okay,
I know. I told you. I like you said. I finished. I'm like, hey, good job. Like, but
still haven't got your gold star yet, though, have you?
But I don't know. It's like I had to read it in like really, really tiny chunks, like 3 pages, and I was done for that. What was that?
Somebody's hungry.
And I know that wasn't me because my stomach didn't talk to me.
My mouth wasn't even at the microphone.
Well then.
But, to me, like I said, it's very simple. I think, what's the rating on the back there, April?
Oh, crap. Older teen.
I'd agree.
In the rating system, that's 16 and up. But
roughly.
To me, unless the future volumes get a little bit more
violent. It's gory. There's a lot
violent.
Of blood in it.
There is.
But there's, unless, like again, future issues.
Black and white blood. Maybe it's oil.
It is black and white. There is no color. Except for the cover.
Except for the first few pages, actually.
Once the military.
Yeah, but there's no blood in the first
few
pages.
Yeah, there's no blood. It's just.
Pictures of the characters.
Give you a feel of it. But, like, I think once the military presence stepped in, I got really bored. Yeah.
Not your cup of tea.
No.
Isn't that when they explained her powers?
I guess. I didn't
kind
really
of.
Care
about
it.
And the military presence was actually her, that elemental, whatever it was.
Elemental
group.
Network.
All I wanted to focus in on was, like, these two.
They pretty much were.
And he didn't talk to her worth a squat.
I don't think he cared.
Right. He's kind of one of those aloof guys. He doesn't really talk with anybody.
But she didn't talk to
Except
him.
Except to give sly comments and remarks.
But she didn't talk to him either. It's like,
I think Logan mentioned it where she mentioned at one part of the story he will become her husband.
Yeah.
Well, that's what
prediction.
I was interested in. Like,
so yeah. I think in future issues you're going to see this.
I think it's going to keep going where they're just the same. Basically the same, where not much time passes until they get to what this is book 1 and 2. I doubt they get married by the time this book, by the time this
and
actual artist, by the time they're done with it, they're not going to get married. But the whole idea that she saw the future where they were together, I think is what actually keeps them together through this book, because there's a lot of times where he just finds her completely and utterly annoying and doesn't want anything to do with her.
Well, see, that's what I like. I like learning about how their relationship is now and then how it somehow gets to that marital stage. It's like,
and I
that's
think,
a 360.
I think the whole thing that keeps him in there is keeps the contract is because he's curious to see if that actually
What's
happens.
Happen? And he's they see her as a tool at this point in time.
Well, of course,
she's
right
more
now
of
they're
a tool.
Right. Well, she's part of the she's part of the X-Men. Because they have all these guys that have certain talents together, and you don't find that out until later. I don't know if we've gotten to that part yet. But they meet up with this older female who
I hate her. I want her to go die in a home.
Her
has talents as well.
She annoys me.
Is that the female agent?
Maybe alphas would be closer to how I see these people.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, alphas.
Just extraordinarily
talented
gifted.
In one
very,
area.
Very
in one
good.
Area.
Yeah.
But I think the little girl aspect is in there to try to draw in female readership.
Yeah, you killed it.
Like April mentioned, a lot of the Japanese stories do have the younger girls falling for the older males, and it's how that
I don't
they
like
both
that.
Grow until they're both of age. And one of them, and sometimes they're the same age. Some of the groups are the same age.
I don't like that.
But they always butt heads.
Yeah.
And then at the end.
And then they'll be in a relationship.
At the end, there's a relationship. So, but this one, I don't think it's going to be, you know, the adult with a minor. It's going to be one where it's more of a crush on her part because she thinks it's going to happen. But on him, it's like.
Whatever. It's just a kid.
Yeah. And it's kind of following that track to me rather than actual romance.
See, what I don't like is that.
At the end. I don't know if that prediction of hers, to me, it would be a better story if it didn't happen.
Well, with this.
And they explained her powers.
Or they could
wait,
do a.
And what
sorry.
Do you mean by another gal with powers? I don't recall that.
The female agent that they.
She doesn't have
powers.
She's
just very talented.
Just having
powers. Very
special.
Talented.
She's just
well,
talented.
It's not really powers.
Like
he doesn't
X-Men.
Really have a power like X-Men, but he has a
very
special gift or ability that
like
sets
if,
him apart
like
from everyone else.
Hawkeye?
Is what he's referring to.
He's a master at
assassin.
Hawkeye is really good at
a bow.
Bow. That would be his power or
like
talent.
Bullseye. And
yeah.
Her power is the
annoying.
You know how people in fights can sometimes get. He's going to be doing this.
That's
next,
somebody's
so
power
not
in this room.
That.
if Matt affects
all
you like that,
pointed
Joseph.
To April for some reason. Okay, you said her when she's in combat? Or?
No, when people are in combat, when they're real skilled, sometimes they have the instinct or whatever to see what's going to happen just a few seconds later.
Okay.
And him, apparently, 3 to 4 moves ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Her special ability is basically that, except for to 17 or 50 moves ahead. And she can only do it with people she knows.
True, I forgot
okay.
about that.
Yeah,
I forgot
I
about
that.
I remember seeing
that.
I remember.
And I could see that she's more of a strategist than a predictor.
Yep.
She's
Holmes.
They're similar, but they're
she's
different.
She's Sherlock's reincarnation.
There you
that'd
go.
That'd be
Colin
a way to
Sherlock.
Look at it.
Yeah.
Like Sherlock
go.
Can see
so
what's going
ahead.
To kind of happen.
Except see, like,
for some reason, apparently she can only see the end scene or something.
True.
Not sure.
Going back to like the whole they might marry, get married and all that, and how you said that a lot of the girls like the going for the older guy. No, because almost
not in our culture, but
no,
probably
no, but
Japanese
almost
culture.
All of them, they're the same grade or the same age if they're adults.
But there's a
I keep going back to Blue Exorcist. That would be true.
Fair amount that are
Morning
age
Glory.
Differences.
Like with this
that
one,
that was American though.
With this one, I don't like it because she is so young, but that by the time they got old enough to marry each other, he would probably be grain.
That's why I think it's going to be more of her
isn't
having a crush type thing.
I don't
thing.
Think it's going to be like that. He'll be in his 30s. She'll be in her late teens.
But that's
where it would be
that's
socially
really,
acceptable.
But
the Han Solo and Princess Leia.
Possibly.
Because that's
but,
where I see them at.
Oh, and April. Rich old people.
Rich
well,
old
that's
people.
What I was thinking. I was thinking like.
Anna Nicole Smith and whoever her old husband was.
Well, no, because when I think about that, I think of
Hugh
like.
Hugh Hefner and his
that's
new
what
bride.
I think of. I think of Hugh Hefner and his bunnies.
So we Americans have no right to accuse that.
Well, I don't like it. I don't like that.
But I think that's what the attempt by the author was to try to pull in some female readerships.
You lost. You had it. You lost it.
I think it would have been better served as just a straight man's adventure. Because to me, it kind of gets annoying with the little girl in there, too. I'd rather just have a pure.
And I don't
but
like,
it's not bad.
Look how is
look at her was more like the damsel in distress.
And I don't like her clothes either.
True.
Yeah.
True.
That's, she just nitpicked.
No, that's something that no. Seriously.
She doesn't do
simple
that.
Simple sundress.
She doesn't do that.
No, that's a lot of the times that what turns off a female reader is if they don't like their style. Their
and you speak sundress. You speak on behalf of all female readers.
No, I said on average.
No, you didn't.
No.
Yeah, let's go back.
Rewind that tape. No.
But this is one I could see. If you put it in a high school, you definitely want to keep it probably into the 10th and above. Freshman might be all right, too, but I don't think you want to get any younger than a freshman age. But 10th and higher, I'd say it'd be all right, just by reading this first volume.
Yeah, who knows what's coming down the lane.
Right. So if you are buying it for a school library, you might want to preview the books before you put them on the shelf. Public library, I say put them in your YA section. I don't think there'd be a problem. You might have to educate some parents if they bring them up with their younger child and say, you know, the rating is older teen. If you want to,
you know, our library, I don't know if we do it anymore, but we used to have put a sticker on these books that we'd put in YA that have blood and gore in them. A sticker that said graphic violence on it.
Some libraries do, some libraries don't.
That would make sense.
I think
sense.
It just depends on them.
Yeah. Have the rating and reason why it's rated that. Kind of like the TV show sometimes.
Yeah,
Archer.
TVY.
It had the MA, and then it had whichever ones it right. specifically had in that episode.
Which is like everything.
But
no.
But when you're
usually
looking,
it only had two, sometimes three.
I'm being sarcastic. Right.
But when you're looking at a back of a book or back of a DVD cover, they don't want to take up that much space because they're wanting to tell you what the book's about. So that's why they make just a general overview of a rating, which this one's OT, to say 16 and up, basically, is what that means in our culture. In their culture, it probably means about 14, 13. 15 up.
Right. Yeah, it just depends on the culture, but I got to tell a little funny story about this book. I took it with me on my last adventure in cheerleading.
You didn't know this about Matt. He
wasn't my adventure.
He was
my daughter's adventure.
He's in a cheerleading, yeah.
He's a secret cheerleader.
It was my daughter's adventure in cheerleading.
Oh, okay.
And he's a flyer, too.
Yeah, right. And in this, we went shopping. Well, me and my son kind of got fed up with shopping. I said, I'm going to go sit in the car and read my book. My son went and played his DS. I was reading the book. They got my wife and daughter got back in the car, and I said, here, put this in the back, hand it to my daughter. She looks at the book and goes, why is it backwards?
Because it's a manga.
She went, what's that?
This is a good
really?
Time to
do I need to explain this? Good, yes, I do.
Good time to educate her.
So for a 5-minute car ride, my daughter, son, and wife got to manga explained to them. But it was still just, why is this book backwards?
Okay. When
they've been exposed.
Well, when I
have been negligent. Well, they should have known this years
ago. Remember,
my
daughter's only 12.
When I
well, she'll be 12 here in a little bit.
When
and my son's only, God, he just turned 9. I had to think about that. I'm like, oh,
you're looking at us?
Me.
I don't know.
I was thinking he just turned 9, so they're not into you know this
stuff yet.
Well,
this stuff
you should have learned of it 7 years ago, and him probably 7 as well.
My kids learned almost when they came out of the.
Honestly,
well, yeah.
When I first started reading manga, like I would naturally start opening it, and then if open it like an American way, and if I didn't catch myself, I would continue reading it.
Going, why does this not make sense?
And I would get about. Half,
I don't get it.
I would get about.
It's from Japan. That's why.
I would get about halfway through the book, then flip it around and start the other half.
About, oh, yeah.
Or actually manga like, preview things
I was like
that.
This doesn't add up. Oh, that's right. Let's start reading it again.
On a lot of manga books, though, if you open it up like an American
it'll
book,
tell you,
it'll
stop.
Say,
stop.
Hey,
stop.
Yeah.
This is the wrong way.
And then it has
go
a little guide
side.
That says panel 1, 2, 3. Like,
yeah, it tells you how to read them. Out. So if anyone that's
and
listening
now,
to this.
And now I
now
laugh
knows.
At that.
And sometimes you open American books the wrong way instead.
No, I don't.
Ah.
But
I'm still American.
Actually, if they don't have a cover that identifies it, yeah, I actually do sometimes.
So recommendations on having?
I would say for a public library, it'd be fine. If you're a small library with a small budget, this one you might want to skip. If you're a medium-sized library, it's the cost of it's $12.99, I believe.
So like two?
Well,
no, it's not. That's
no,
like a
well,
book.
One and a fifth.
U.S.
It depends on how many are in the series. That true. I mean, $12 is kind of expensive for a manga US, that has like a series of 100.
Well, that's a normal
price. It's right there, right?
No.
Yeah. US is $18.99. Yeah. But wait.
Wow.
That's not
But are there, is every issue going to be a double?
So, yes.
I don't know.
It's maybe but $2 or $4 off if you had bought the just one shots. Yeah. So, yeah, this is a saving.
But there is
thing.
A silver lining in that because it's not as expensive as Canada, which is $20.99.
They have different money.
$2. No.
It's a but they have works out to be the same.
The regular manga price
the normal
range
person
is
doesn't know that.
10 to 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
About 10 to 12 is what a regular book is. So this one's not quite double, so you're getting a little bit of savings.
And their book size is a bit bigger anyway, so it's even more savings.
Kinda. So this one, with a lot of novels, or excuse me, with a lot of mangas, when you jump into something, you're not quite sure how many books or volumes it's going to be.
Yeah, look about One Piece and Naruto and all that stuff.
That's one of the challenges with them. You don't know what you're getting into. So I do not know how long a book series this will be. I enjoyed it. I would recommend it to a young gentleman. Young lady, I don't know if I'd recommend it.
I would recommend
it. Unless I think she was into it.
I don't have a problem referring it to guys, but not girls.
Kind of was, like I said, action adventure kind of is where I'd put it. So if they like that,
yeah,
maybe throw them into it and let them run.
And that's it for this episode. We'd like to thank Music Alley for providing the intro and outro for this episode. Go to their website, musicalley.com, where you can browse through a selection of different musical titles. They're available to purchase at 99 cents. You can preview it before you download, so you might give them a shot. You might find something you like. So thank you again to musicalley.com. On the next episode, for episode 31, we will be reviewing the movie Rock of Ages, starring Tom Cruise, and the album
Sigh No More by Mumford & Sons.
There you go. So join us again next time. Had fun. We'll catch y'all later.
Bye.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. Now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's surely the moment that I don't wanna miss. And what I'm trying to say, well,
thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.